if you read your word, every battle was won because the praisers went out before the warriors. And they sang. And they danced. And they played their timbrels. Isn't that what happened? So what makes it any different today? It doesn't. So are you going to sing and dance from now on? You're going to shout. God, you know, God said we have to do the shout first to release his glory. And then we have to be singing and praising in order for him to move. So do you want him to move in your life or don't you? I just look at some of you and I know when you're in the world, you let it run loose. What changed when you became born again? Should have been just the songs. You should still have the dance in your feet. Amen. You may get all pious. Oh, well, you know, I'm in the house of God now. So I'm going to really let it loose. When you was in the bar, you let it loose in the bar. Come on. I never went to a bar. Well, that's good. I'm glad you didn't. I was a waitress in a bar overseas because the only thing American women could do. And they opened the officers club up for the Americans, all the Americans to go in there. And they let us little NCO wives work there as waitresses. And I saw what goes on in bars. That's the first time I've been in one, but I saw. And they enjoy theirself, they think. They're drunk as a skunk and still flying. Just a hooting and a hollering and a dancing and going on. They get a glass of beer and give you a $10 tip. They're so drunk. I made lots of money every night. I was a good waitress. I made sure I was right at your table, boy. I should have never done that, but then I wasn't born again either. Didn't know I shouldn't even be there participating in that either. But I'm just letting you know, I know what the world does in a bar. So we're in church. And we're supposed to be in the Lord's presence. And they say everybody's died and went to heaven. Says it's nothing but singing and rejoicing in heaven. You know. And God wants done in earth what's done in heaven. So. We're not supposed to be all drags, just dragging along, just singing all sweet by and by. You know. We're supposed to be having a good fun time and rejoicing in the Lord. And don't forget, I think our revival starts here in a week, doesn't it? They had to keep me informed so I can get some messages together. I really don't know what God is doing or going to be doing, but I do know one thing: God is God. And God will do whatever he feels like doing. And he'll do what you want him to do. So if you come expecting every service, I'm not talking about revival, I'm talking about every service. If you come expecting God to move in your life, he is going to move in your life. Now, if you're just going to come to see what's going on, that's what you're going to get. You're going to see what's going on. But you have to come expecting God to do something in your life. Come on. I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do right now because he won't let me start. So, Holy Spirit, you have full and complete rule and reign in here to do whatever you want to do right now. We just submit ourselves to you totally 100%, we submit ourselves to you. Rule and reign in us, Father. Father, I thank you for it and I praise you for it. The ladies are sweating. Can you turn the air conditioner up or down, however you do that thing, to make it a little cooler in here? You know, you're going to turn on the noise box? Oh. You know, God wants to do great and powerful, mighty things in our lives, but we hold God back. We tie God's hands. We can't quite, we read about the supernatural, we sing about the supernatural, but yet we can't quite believe there is a supernatural. We say it with this, but it doesn't come from our heart. And I know, you know, I'm going to teach about Elijah. And I know that if God brought a chariot of fire down and took Elijah on home and your other ministries are saying that the chariots come to their services and take people around the world. Why isn't it happening everywhere? You know, God wants supernatural events to occur in your life 24/7. This is just what I'm hearing him say, so I'll just say it. He just doesn't want it to happen every now and then, but he wants you to live in a supernatural realm where all things are possible. Everything that you might think is impossible becomes possible with God as you live in this supernatural realm. Now, we know that what God's taken us into is one of the greatest things that's ever going to occur in the body of Christ. How do we know that? Because all hell has come against the body of Christ. Everybody that's truly submitted herself to God 100% and has a powerful calling upon their life, you're being fought by the enemy day in and day out. Even in the middle of the night, you wake up with a heavy depression, oppression upon you. That should be a sign to you that God has called you into the supernatural realm and the enemy does not want you to go there. And he's going to do everything in his power to keep you from going there. He's going to do everything in his power to keep you from walking into the supernatural, because once you get there, you're going to want others to go with you. You're not going to be content to be up there all by yourself singing glory, glory, glory. You're going to want a multitude of people get into the supernatural realm so they can receive all that you're receiving. That's the way God wants it, guys. It's up to each one of us sitting in here tonight. How deep are you going to go into God's glory? I want brother and sister to please separate, put a seat between you. Thank you. How deep do you want to go into God's glory tonight? I want you to really, really, really think about this. You know, God told me 3 weeks ago, he said, the reason why the glory isn't in the Lighthouse Church in all of its fullness is because I'm still shaking the church. I said, my God, Lord, well, who else are you going to shake out? God's going to shake out everybody that won't walk into unity. He's going to shake everybody out that gets in discord. You cannot get in discord and disunity and expect God to move mightily. You cannot do that. So, you know, if the devil comes and tries to get you into discord, just tell him, devil, I don't go there with you no more. I don't do that no more. If he comes and tries to get you to get into disunity, you know, blab your mouth, you know, you say, no, I don't do that no more. I'm in unity, first of all, with God. I've made a covenant with him of unity, and I'm in unity with those that I fellowship and labor with. Right? We don't do this backbiting thing. Some of the hospitals do. They kill their patients, right? But we don't kill our patients. You know, that's just unreal to think we kill our patients. And you know what I found out in the body of Christ? You know, the Bible says, judge not and you shall not be judged. But yet the Bible also tells us that we're going to judge the angels, right? And, you know, but it also tells us to have discernment and be able to judge our brother and sister. Not to go around looking for things wrong, but when you see things wrong, then you know, and whenever you have a church meeting, you have to talk about the problem, right? How many of you in here have a business? Nobody. All right, so if you had a business and you had more than one person, wouldn't you call the people together maybe once a week or once a month to talk about what's going on in the business? So everybody's on the same page, so you know exactly what's going on and what's coming down. That is the same thing that happens in the body of Christ. But have you ever seen whenever you talk about something in the body of Christ, say, oh, does she or he think they are? Isn't that the way they go? Nobody's willing to do the things that God's calling them to do. And that's to grow up. That's to grow up. Get out of that diaper and get off of that bottle and get on solid meat and get out there and be the leader that God's called you to be. Now, I look around and the majority of you are called to be leaders. Some of you can't lead nothing yet because you're too busy being caught up in your own mess. You're too busy judging and being jealous. And I'm going to talk about a jealous God one of these services. But, you know, we're not called to do that. We're called to love one another, walk in perfect unity and perfect peace. And that all came from God because that's not my message. So whoever had to hear that, you heard it, right? Now I want you to put it in your spirit and want you to walk with it. Tonight we're going to talk about the spirit of Elijah. God said, prophetic voices will declare my glory to this generation. If you're following anything about the prophetic, have you noticed how now they're bickering about whether the prophets are true or whether they're false? And they're, you know, and I read an article today that said that the majority of the prophetic word is out there that isn't even a God, you know. And it goes on and on and on. So what do? You keep your eyes upon the Lord. You know who you are in Christ Jesus. And you'll know who is a true prophet and who is a false prophet. And just because what he spoke to you hasn't come to pass in the last 10 years, he says, keep holding on, because it's going to come to pass. But he also told us that now when he speaks the word, it's going to come to pass now, not 10 years from now, because he needs it to happen right now. You know, one time, you know, I was really discouraged because I thought, God, is it you speaking through me? And I got a phone call, and this lady said, I forgot what state she's in. She said, you prophesied over me 12 years ago. And right now, everything that you prophesied is all coming to pass 12 years later. And she was so happy she couldn't stand herself. So, and I said, thank you, God, for sending that testimony, because I needed it at that given moment. And so I'm just telling you that just because it doesn't happen never you speak it, doesn't mean it isn't going to happen. All right? I'm not even going to go there. Well, you can cause your own prophetic word to stop. I'm not even going to go there. I'm just saying, if it hasn't come to pass, God said this was a year that he was going to fulfill all the promises that he has given us this year. So what do? We wait. Anxiously await. We're not supposed to be anxious, but we wait with bated breath. Is that good? For God to bring his promises to pass. I really believe that Brother Brett and Sister Nancy will have their home before the summer's over. I believe that. They've been waiting a long time. How long you been upstairs in your prison, Joseph? 2 years in your prison cell. Well, Joseph, you're about ready to be set free. So whatever God's spoken, guys, over your lives is going to come to pass. Let's just quit being stupid. Right? And let's just trust God. I'm no different than you. I go down in the mall. I'm not going to do it no more, but I go down to the mall and go, oh, God, when are you ever going to bring this to pass? I used to do that, too. God told me you need to stop. If I've spoken it, I'm going to bring it to pass. Amen. So he said, many prophetic sons and daughters will receive the Father's mantle this year. I thought that was exciting. We will receive the Father's mantle this year. There was a story in the Old Testament about the prophet Elijah and his successor, the prophet Elijah. Elijah's ministry first began as a servant to Elijah in the book of 1 Kings 19:19. His ministry began first as a servant to Elijah in 1 Kings 19:19. So 1 Kings verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Now we all know what Elijah did, you know, the fire and the killing of all the prophets and everything, all right? Jezebel's prophets. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Also how he had executed all the prophets with a sword. Now you see there, Jezebel, who is demonic, had her prophets too. Satan, who is demonic, has his prophets also. And they are the false prophets that are on the earth already. So you see, what you have to do is have total and complete discernment of what is true and which is false. And I'm going to tell you guys again, I keep saying this, but you need to quit being so quick to run around and have everybody prophesy over you. Because what's spoken in your spirit, believe it or not, is going to stick in there. So you just need to quit that. Go to prophets that you know are true prophets. And let them speak in you. I used to do that before God's now daughter. It's you and I will talk face to face. But I also made sure that I knew who was prophesying over me. All right. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. So Jezebel said she was going to kill Elijah. Right. And when he saw that, he rose and ran for his life. Isn't that how the body of Christ is? When Satan comes against us, we get up and run for our life, never have a trust in God. And he went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, we're talking about Elijah, and came and sat down under a broom tree. And Elijah prayed that he might die. How many of you have done that? And said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Then as Elijah lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then Elijah looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched Elijah and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So Elijah rose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights, as far as Oreb, the mountain of God. So right there, guys, if God's calling you to a fast, he'll probably give you a big feast the day before. And he expects that to last you for the next 40 days and 40 nights. All right? Come on. And there Elijah went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to Elijah and said to Elijah, what are you doing here, Elijah? How many of you run into your cave and God's come finding you? So Elijah said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. That's just like all of us guys. One time I was complaining to God, and God said, daughter, you're not the only one in this boat, so quit complaining. So some of you in here tonight, you're complaining, you're not the only one in the boat. There's others, there's probably a multitude of others going through the same thing you're going through. Why? Because for the glory of God, because of what God, he's strengthening you for to go on and complete your destiny. Verse 11. Then God said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. See, whenever I was first born again, I wanted to see the earthquake, you know, and I wanted to see the fire and the thunder and the lightning. And God said, daughter, with you and I, it's always going to be a still small voice. You don't need all these signs and wonders. So I'm saying to each one of you tonight who are called to be a leader, why do you have to have the manifestation of signs? Why can't you be content with a still, small voice? Ask yourself that. Why do I need all the other hullabaloo? I really wanted to see the fire and the lightning. I begged God to let me see it, and he said, no. Still, small voice. It's still the still, small voice that I hear. Verse 13, so it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? See, now he's still in the cave, right? And Elijah said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left. They seek to take my life. And you know what? The children of God say, all I have around me is devils. I'm the only saved person in this house. I'm the only saved person on my workplace. That just came to me as I was reading this. I thought I'd throw that out there. Come on. We're all guilty of that one, aren't they? Oh, God, everybody in this house is full of the devil. Why don't you do something about it, right? So what did verse 14 said? And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God. And you say, God, I've done everything you told me to do. I've been working hard. I've been praying. I've been fasting. Because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars. And seeing you say, they won't serve you, Lord. You've given warning after warning after warning. They won't save you, God. Why don't you kill them? Right? I alone am left. And the devil and them seeking to take my life. It really isn't that how we, that's how we figure it out, don't we? Let's be honest, everybody. Let's, you know, well, if you haven't figured it, haven't said that, we have. Yep. Come on. Going to change your mind now the way you think? Verse 15, then the Lord said to Elijah, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. So what does God have us to do, guys? We're leaders. And God says, call that person up and anoint them to be a reverend. Call that person up and anoint them to be an evangelist. You're doing the will of the Father. Even though all hell is broke loose around about you, God is still using you to do His will and His purpose. So get your eyes off what's going on around about you and go ahead and be about the Father's business and quit complaining. Verse 16, also you shall anoint Jehu the son of Nimish as king over Israel, and Elijah the son of Shaphat of Abel, whatever, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. Look, as prophet in your place. Come on. You want to do what, Lord? Right? It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. And whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elijah will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. 7,000 people he had set aside. And Elijah thought he was the only one left that was sanctified, right? So news broadcast here. You're not the only one sanctified. There's 7,000 more out there just like you who's waiting on the Father, going through every test and trial that you're going through, and they're making it just like you are. Verse 19, So Elijah departed from there and found Elijah, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. There he was. He was anointing him as a prophet in his place. I want to ask you something. If God, if you have a title, and God told you to go and anoint somebody else up to take your mantle, what would you do? Ah, come on, you wouldn't go willingly. Get behind me, Satan. Come on. And Elijah left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, Elijah said to Elijah, go back again, for what have I done to you? He must have been mad because he had to give him his mantle, right? So Elijah turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. He did what? He followed him and became his what? Nobody in the house of God wants to be a servant to a leader. Well, after all, I know more than you do, so why does, and I can talk better than you do, and I look better than you do, and why I should be the leader, not you. That's what goes on. Come on, it does. If you don't want to admit that, well, then go and dip your head. You get the fog out of it, because it does happen that way. And you can tell you've had that attitude by the way you always try to usurp the person's authority. 1 Kings 19:19. As he completed his earthly occupation of plowing 12 yoke of oxen, we're talking about Elijah, Elijah approached Elijah and threw his mantle upon him. This is symbolic for those who are clothed with a prophetic mantle, which is the spirit of Elijah, as well as an allegory of the Father's mantle being passed to the Son. You know, God spoke to us the other night in a prophetic word and said he's getting ready to pass out new mantles, did he not? This is to get you prepared. If he wants to give you a mantle, he's giving you a chance to get yourself prepared to receive a mantle. Now, if you don't get yourself prepared, then he could pass you by. Because he really doesn't need to give it to you. There's so many more out there he could clean up and give it to them. Well, I've been in church 30 years. Well, you've been in there 30 years too long. Because you're still what you were when you first went into the house of God, and you have not changed, and God can't use you. I don't care how, you know, when I first became born again, I said, and God was using me to do prophetic and heal and everything else. I said, God, I don't know what I'm doing. He says, you know more than these people do. And they've been in church a long time. Well, I've been in church all my life, but never born again. So, you know, guys, don't ever think that somebody else has been born again for longer than you have, that they have no more than you do, because they don't. They don't. Or God would be giving them the mantles. All right? Each day Elijah followed Elijah closely and would not leave him for a moment. Now, you know, I read about how he followed him everywhere, and Elijah would say, "You stay here." And he's, "Nope, I'm going where you're going." You think he was tied to you, wouldn't you? But you say, "Just God, just tie him to a rock or something. I need a little bit of free time." But Elijah wanted everything that Elijah had. He wanted to be taught. And so he followed Elijah wherever Elijah went. And he got that down in his spirit, that anointing down in his spirit. In the same way, we should have mentors who walk as Jesus walked and could disciple us in love as well as spiritual realities. In the same way, we should have mentors who walk as Jesus walked and could disciple us in love as well as spiritual realities. Elijah was a prophet with a ministry of miracles, signs, and wonders. And I didn't write that scripture down as where they talk about John the Baptist. He's greater than, you know, but he's greater. He's not a reed shaken in the wind. And that he is another Elijah. I was going to write that down. After a season in which Elijah had served Elijah, the Lord was coming to take Elijah. So see, Elijah had to walk closely with Elijah for a season, not just a day or two. It had to be a season because he had to learn all the ins and outs of the spirit realm from Elijah. If he was going to carry Elijah's mantle, he had to be just like Elijah. Are you understanding this? 2 Kings 2:9, he obviously knew this because he asked Elijah, "What may I do for you before I am taken away?" Elijah responded, "I want a double portion of your spirit anointing." Elijah knew how to think big, didn't he? Greedy little cuss, wasn't he? Your God always tells me, "Daughter, you think too small." He said, "I want you to think big." So don't feel like you can't ask God big, because you can ask God big. He wants you to ask big of him. This word for spirit in the original Hebrew text is R-U-W-A-C-H, which is breath, wind, and spirit. It is referring to the living breath of God, a living mantle. He wanted something that was alive. Something he could feel. Isn't that what we want, guys? You know, if you don't have something alive and something you can feel, what do you have to give to anybody else? It has to be tangible. You have to have something that whenever you breathe in somebody else's direction, they'll receive what you have. They'll receive that breath of God. 2 Kings 2:10, is that what I meant? Excuse me. Elijah replied, "If you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so." 2 Kings 2:11, soon after, a chariot of fire with horses of fire appeared, separated them, you know, Elijah and Elijah, and took Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind. It's, thank God he separated him, but Elijah went up with him too, right? Didn't when he was so strong. Don't you crave for that strong anointing? I mean, aren't you desirous of God to just come in here and knock us all on the floor and keep us there for the next 2 days? You know? I mean, you know, I know what it is to walk in that kind of anointing. And this that we're walking in is absolutely nothing, guys. It really isn't. There's so much more that God wants to do for the body of Christ. So much more. Did you find that scripture, Chris? Well, you'll have to read it because I can't see it. And we can't hear you either. It's not up on the screen, so you have to scream or get a microphone, one or the other. Turn the microphone on, somebody.
Matthew 11:7-12, and they departed. Jesus began to say unto the multitude.
I can't understand a thing you're saying. You're mumbling.
And they, as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, "What went you out to the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind. But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment. Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, which shall prepare your way before you."
Doesn't it say something about Elijah?
"Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there have not arisen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And he, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent taken
by force. Now, you must have the wrong version. What are you reading from?
King James.
We will look up the New King James. Because it says in there, the spirit of Elijah. And this is what I want to get at. Because when I was first born again and God was using me greatly and mightily and people were coming against me, I went home crying one day and God gave me that scripture. And he was telling me that I was another John. He told me I was another John the Baptist before that. But it says on there that it's the spirit of Elijah. What I'm getting at here is God is looking for men and women who will sell themselves out totally and completely to him. And you can't hear what I'm saying if you're playing with a baby. He's looking for men and women who are sold totally and completely out to him, walking in the spirit totally and completely 100% so he can make you another Elijah. And another Elijah is somebody who walks with signs, wonders, and miracles. You won't be Elijah, but you'll walk under his anointing. Are you understanding this here tonight? See, we are just so caught up in this little pea brain world that the church has taught us that we don't understand what God is really trying to do with us. Do you have it? Do you have it?
Yes.
Can you put it up there? You can't do that with my thing up there? I can't read that. Can you all read that?
I should have read the 14. I stopped at 12.
Quit your mumbling. Read it right. Talk right.
Should have went to verse 14, but we stopped at 12. So verse 13, for all the prophets in the law prophesied until John. And if you're willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear.
See that he is Elijah. He's talking about John the Baptist. But God is trying to raise up, and he even said Elijahs would be on this world in the end times. So how many of you in here are willing to cast aside all your junk, all your dumb thinking, and go up in the supernatural, get under the anointing of God, become a sanctified, spirit-filled person, and go ahead and allow God to use you as Elijah in great signs, wonders, and miracles. Are you listening? You keep wanting to go back into your cesspool. Why? There's nothing back there in your cesspool but hell itself. And when you die, you're going to go to hell if you keep going back to your cesspool. God's told us, keep going forward. Don't go backward. Are you listening? But, you know, we get upset, and the first thing we do, oh, well, that didn't work. I'm going to go back to my cesspool. You're always going to stay in your cesspool because the devil knows he has you. You haven't sold yourself out to God yet. You have not sold yourself out to God yet if you're constantly wanting to go back into your cesspool. Where am I at? All right. Elijah's mantle fell upon Elijah, and he received a double portion of Elijah's anointing. It was Elijah's anointing. This is what God wants to give us, a double portion of Elijah's anointing. Elijah's ministry did not begin until Elijah's ministry ended. We are going to see the ministries of the prophetic sons and daughters succeed the ministries of their spiritual fathers in the coming year. In other words, you're going to see great... Bob Jones already passed away. You're going to see great prophets die, but God needs to give that mantle to somebody else. And, you know, as long as I can see that single eye, he's still looking for men and women who are sold totally and completely out to him that he can drop these mantles on. Come on. You know, you don't need to quit making excuses why you want to get out of God's will. You just don't want to be in God's will, so you quit making excuses. Well, this is going wrong. That's going wrong. Get out of here. It'll always go wrong as long as you have that attitude. Come on, God's talking very strong to you for your leaders in here. You need to get your head out of the sand, and you need to stand on your feet, and you need to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. You need to put the devil where he belongs, under your feet, and you need to go forth and do the works God's called you forth to do. I was sitting at my computer just, I couldn't pray. I haven't been able to pray. So I just sit and I meditate. And God said to me, daughter, divine intervention is coming your way. I'm bringing divine intervention. And then he told me all kind of stuff. I was so blown away. I didn't even type it. I mean, what God was told me was so fantastic that I didn't even think about typing it. I was sitting in front of my computer. But, you know, and I'm saying this. I said that to say this. God is going to bring divine intervention to each one of your lives.
Yeah.
If you would just stay in his will and quit running back to your cesspool. We go through hell every day. My house is, I got some peace. Next minute, no, people walk through the door and all hell breaks loose. But that doesn't make me want to quit God. That just makes me get on my knees and cry out all the more. God, I don't want to miss what God has for me. I'm too old to lose. Each one of you should think that too. You're too old to lose. You work too hard to get where you're at. And why would you ever let the devil take what you have at this stage of the game? Just when God is ready to drop his glory and all of his glory, why would you allow the devil to take you back from whence you came? Dumb. That's dumb. The Lord says, I am raising up prophetic voices to declare my glory to this generation. How many years ago did God tell the people my glory's coming? So I must be one of those that he rose up to declare the glory, that the glory was coming. They will be those who will trumpet my words with clarity and precision as they minister in the spirit and power of Elijah. Do you hear what we just read? They will be those who will trumpet my words with clarity, won't mumble through a microphone, and precision as they minister in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Come on. It's time we use our voices. It's time our words resound throughout the land so that the church can know they've got to change. They have to straighten up. You're not going to be able to win a soul if you have one foot in the grave and one foot in, I don't know. There's no gray line, God says. You have to be totally sold out to God or you're not going to be able to do nothing for the Lord. Come on. Just the way it is. Read God's word. He doesn't mince his words. All right, these prophets that he's raising up, they will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. They will prepare the people's hearts for the days ahead. Are you ready to do that? God's been trying to use us to do that. They will prepare the people's hearts for the days ahead. They will be men and women who will walk in the anointing as in the days of old. Saints, what we have right now is nothing compared to what God wants to do with us. It's absolutely nothing. God told me, daughter, when I start in Lighthouse, you'll just stand with your mouth wide open. You'll be so amazed at what I'm doing because you cannot comprehend what I'm trying to tell you. And I can't. But I know he's going to do it because he's a great God. There will be miracle signs and wonders performed through their hands as my anointing rests upon them and abides within them. They will show others how to be fed supernaturally in the times of famine. Do you know how many people are out there saying, oh, you shouldn't walk in the supernatural, that's demonic. Get out. Yeah, there is a supernatural demonic, but we're not talking about demonic. We're talking about God, the living God, the Father in heaven, in his supernatural realm. They shall decree a thing, and it shall be established, because I will confirm the words that I give them to speak. So when you decree a thing, it has to be what God is telling you to say, not what you want to say. Because God said, they shall decree a thing and it shall be established because I will confirm the words that I give them to speak. They are men and women of valor who follow in the steps of my prophets who went before them. Come on. They are those who have put their hand to the plow and have not looked back. How many times has God said, do not look back. Look straight ahead. Look square in my eyes. Don't look to the left or to the right. And I see people all the time, left, right, left, right. Oh, what's behind me? I need to go back there. We can't do that no more. We have to look straight ahead. I hear God say, time is growing very, very short. And the light is growing very, very dim because my people won't look me square in the face and follow me. There will only be a few who will follow me totally and completely. They are those who have never deviated from my plan, but have followed me through difficult times and persecution. Come on. They are those who have never deviated from my plan, but have followed me through difficult times and persecution. Have you done that? They will bring reconciliation to my body and balance to the fivefold ministry, bringing every joint and ligament to function in unison. I am raising up men and women who know how to take back their land. And this is what I've been trying to get you guys to do. Take back the land. And when you take it back, keep it. Satan, you're not going to steal my pea field ever again. I love that story. Then people finally said, enough is enough. You come every year and take our pea field. You're not having my pea field ever again. You need to declare that to the devil tonight. You are not going to take my pea field ever again. And by pea field, whatever he's trying to steal from you, or he has over and over again, that's what you call your pea field, and he's not going to have it. I call my kids pea fields. You're not taking my pea field, and then I name my kids that are backslidden. You're not having them. It might look like you have them, but you don't. They're coming back to God. Are you hearing this? Then you can't waver from that. But you have to stick to that 100%. Do I get upset with them? There's a backslid? Yeah, I do. I like to backslide them some more. But I can't do that. Where am I at, Nancy? Oh, they will take a stand against unrighteousness. See, if you're truly a true child of God, walking in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, this is what you'll do. You'll take a stand against unrighteousness, sin and injustice, and they will be steadfast in their conviction, says the Lord. There's too much wishy-washy in the body of Christ. One day you say one thing, next day you say something else. Every day I said, you're all going to go to hell. I don't wish. I don't change my vocabulary, because if they don't change, they are. Come on. You can't say, you know, if you don't strip, you're going to go to hell. And then 10 minutes later, you say, oh, I didn't mean to say that. No, that is the truth. You didn't say it anyhow. God brought it out. He wants to get their attention. You cannot be out there in gross sin and expect God to use you and expect to go to heaven. You're not going there. You're just not. And see, the problem with the body of Christ is they've been told they are. Because they say, grace, God's grace, God's grace. You can sin and sin. God's grace. Get out of here. And I hadn't been taught this, but I've heard over and over again, once saved, always saved. Once you give your heart to God, you can do whatever you want to do and you're still saved. No, you're not. No, you're not. And it's about time the body of Christ speaks up and tells the truth. Are people going to like the truth? No, they're not. Are they going to come against you? Yes, they are. Will they stop their tithing? Yes, they will. Will they gossip about you? Yes, they will. They'll say all manner of evil about you, but that doesn't matter. You're supposed to tell the truth. I said right now, I've got so mad today about something. I said, right now, if I die, I go straight to hell. And I know it. That I repented because I said something I shouldn't have said. But that doesn't make me feel any better. I said, now I have to go to church and preach the word. Every Wednesday night, the devil comes into my house and wreaks havoc. Just so I feel condemnation when I walk into the house of God. Does he do that to you? By the time you're ready to go to church, your time to witness to somebody, the devil comes in, he wreaks havoc in your life, and you're so sick and tired of the havoc he wreaks that you up and say what you want to say, what you know in your heart needs to be said. Then you say, why did I say that? You know why you said it? Because God's sick and tired. He is sick and tired of people walking over his people. He's sick and tired of the world thinking they can do whatever they want to God's prophets. You know, they don't understand what they're doing when they come against God's prophets. You know, you're all God's prophets because he's all given every one of you the prophetic gifting. So you're a prophet of God. And when they come against you, they come against the apple of God's eye. What to say? They poked their finger right in God's eye when they come against you. They don't mind standing up and cussing you, do they? But don't tell them they're going to go to hell. And you're a pastor. How dare you say that to me? Well, I dare because I am. Right? Are you going to become bold? Or are you going to let the devil just walk all over you day in and day out? You can't do that. You cannot do that. Lost my place again. Did you know Elijah received two mantles from Elijah? 2 Kings 2, 9 through 14. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elijah, "Ask what may I do for you before I am taken away from you." Elijah said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it should be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated two of them, and Elijah went up in a whirlwind into heaven. You know, if you, we backtrack there, Elijah said, you've asked a hard thing. I mean, I'm thinking, why was that a hard thing? I didn't get an answer, but I was wondering, you know, because after all, he's Elijah, right? And Elijah saw it. Elijah saw Elijah being taken. And he cried out, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elijah crossed over. Now I'm going to explain about the two mantles. 2 Kings 2:13. After Elijah received the double portion of Elijah's anointing, when he saw him go, he went and stood on the bank of the Jordan River and struck the water and asked, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" The Lord responded by dividing the water, and Elijah crossed over. This was the second time a mantle from Elijah was placed upon Elijah. The first mantle was in 1 Kings 19:19 as Elijah began serving Elijah. And the second time was in 2 Kings 2:13 as he began to serve the Lord. Come on. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? So he started serving God at that point. He no longer was serving Elijah. See that? The sons of the prophets recognized that the spirit of Elijah rested on Elijah. You will be mocked. This is different. You will be mocked, but you will not retreat. What I'm saying here is, guys, we're going to be mocked, but we're not going to back down. We're going to have people say, "Oh, and you call yourself a minister." You better believe I do. Amen. And you need to get in the Word of God, and you need to find out where you're going to go if you continue down the path you're on. I used to try to defend myself. I don't do that no more. Shortly after, in 2 Kings 2:23, Elijah was now walking in a double portion anointing when some youths came from the city and mocked him and said to him, "Go up, you bald head." They were not mocking his physical appearance, but they were mocking his anointing. They were insinuating that he go up in the same way that Elijah went up in a horse and chariot. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I read that and I thought, well, that makes sense. You know what happened whenever they did that, don't you? He called the bear to come and eat them all up, right? And I didn't write down here how many were. Quite a few children were doing that to him, and he called on the bear and he killed them. The bear killed these kids. 1 Chronicles 16:22 and 2 Chronicles 36:16 refers to those who mocked and rose up against the prophets of God in the Old Testament. I want you to hear this. You better keep your mouth off the prophets of God. And I said, each one of you in here, you have anointing to prophesy, so you are a prophet. And you see, I don't care if the prophet's wrong or not. You, wrong or right, you need to keep your mouth off them. God's able to take care of them. It's not your job to tear them down with your mouth. It's my job to warn you that the false prophets are on the scene. God told me to tell them the false prophets are on the scene. It's my job to tell you to watch who lays hands on you and who prophesies over you. And it's not my job to tell you who's the false and who's the real. You're supposed to be walking in the Spirit, and you should know that. All right? Psalm 105:15 says, "Touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm." Numbers 12:1-15. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. You know how wonderful Moses was in God's eyes. Because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it. I've had people say, "Well, God speaks to me too. So why didn't he tell me that?" I don't know. He told me. I don't know why he didn't tell you. And I don't care if you believe what I just told you or not. It's out of my mouth and in your hands. You do whatever you want. And you'll have people say that to you too. Well, after all, I hear from God, and he didn't tell me that, so I'm just going to wait till I hear from God. You do hear, but you don't hear from God, because I see you do some of the dumbest things that you could ever think of doing. You get totally out of God's will because you heard a voice. Because, see, you wouldn't listen to the true prophet of God, and so you went ahead and listened to the false prophet, and he told you what you wanted to hear. That's the truth. We all know that sitting here tonight. That is the truth. Have you ever asked God the same question about three times, and finally he tells you first two times, third time you hear something different, and you say, I'm so sorry, Lord. I don't even want to hear nothing right now, because you know that you crossed over until he let a lying spirit talk to you. But watch out, because that does happen, guys. So they said, well, I read that. So they had said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Aha, the Lord hears everything you think. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle meeting. So the three came out. Now remember, they talked about Moses. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. Then he said, hear now my words. God speaking. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And I'm going to stop here. And I'm not blowing my own horn. But you know, when God speaks to me, he might give me one word. You know, I think, God, you speak volumes. So why do you just give me one word? And I said, you know, other people, you know, they speak in tongues for an hour, you know, and they're speaking to you. But I can't do that. I just have to talk to you. I really cannot talk to the Lord that's speaking in tongues. And he said, you're just like Moses, and I speak to you face to face. And I don't speak dark sayings to you. I tell you right out what's going on. Why does he do that? Because I like to know what's going on. Don't beat around the bush with me. You tell me the truth, I want it very plain and very simple. I don't want no icing on the cake. Right? So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above you, and God was in the cloud, and when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. They came against God's anointed prophet Moses, and God turned her into a leper. How dare you, he said, touch my anointed one. I'll show you what I'm going to do to you. So Aaron said to Moses, oh, my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us, in which we have done foolishly, and in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one dead whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb. So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, please heal her, O God, I pray. Moses cried out that for his sister. Then the Lord said to Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, would she not be shamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterwards she may be received again. He says, she's going to pay something for this mess. So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey till Miriam was brought in again. The Lord says, there will be unbelievers in the days ahead who will not understand the call and the lives of his prophets. Understand that very clearly tonight. There will be unbelievers in the days ahead who will not understand the call in the lives of my prophets. They will be mocked and ridiculed as my servants, but they will not retreat. Your life is not going to be a bed of roses. They're going to mock you, scorn you, belittle you, do everything to you, but you'll stay his servant because you're not going to retreat. You're going to know that you know that you know that God has called you to do something, and you're going to go forth and do it. Those who, you know, I'm going to tell you something else, prophets. You know, if you're a prophet of God and you've been prophesying to people and prophet, you know, God's using your mouth to prophesy and they won't listen, he'll shut your mouth. And he won't let you speak to them because they wouldn't listen to what you had to say. He'll use somebody else, but he won't use you. So don't be all upset if he all of a sudden doesn't use you, because he's sick and tired of them mocking you and ridiculing you and not listening to you. So he just won't let you say nothing else to them. Even though they would love for you to say something, he won't let you say anything to them. So if that day comes in your life, don't be upset about it. Just know that God's mad at the people. God said, those whom I have called, I will also equip with strength and endurance. How can you go through all this? Because God called me and God equipped me with strength and endurance. Each one of you need to say that to yourself. That's how you can go through the mess you're going through. Because you know without a shadow of a doubt that God called you. So he's strengthening you and he's equipping you with strength and endurance. I will give them divine wisdom with spiritual strategies. They will understand the times and the seasons and walk accordingly. I will give them keen discernment concerning their ministry, and the sword of my word will be in their mouths. I will give them keen discernment concerning their ministry, and the sword of my word will be in their mouths. They will bring truth to the body and bring unity in places of division. See, this is what we're supposed to do. God's trying to get leaders to walk in unity so that you can bring unity wherever you go where there is division. But the more he works in unity, the more division I see. And that's the enemy counteracting what God's trying to do. You need to stop the enemy. They will walk in righteousness. These are the prophets he's calling. They will walk in righteousness, but they will not submit to the religious traditions of man because they are led by my spirit. You know, for years, when we first started here, when we came here out of the house, people come up here, they were so full of religious spirits. I would just tell them, you know, you have religious spirits. You just need to get rid of those religious spirits. And somebody said, how dare you say that? Why not tell them that they're bound up in religion? They're not going to receive anything from God as long as they're walking in religious spirit. God is saying spirit is calling to spirit. He didn't say spirit's calling to religion. Spirit is calling to spirit. And you have to get in the spirit. You have to drop all forms of religion, guys. Supernatural encounters and signs will follow those who believe. As I am raising up mighty men and women in the spirit of Elijah, says the Lord. That was a prophetic word from God. Signs, supernatural encounters and signs will follow those who believe. In here tonight, can you believe that God has called you as a prophet? And can you believe that God wants to use you and work through you with great signs, wonders, and miracles? Now, unless you can believe that, God's not going to be able to use you. Quit allowing the enemy to put you down. Quit allowing the enemy to make you feel like you're not worthy to do. And this happens to me all the time. I fight this all the time. God, I'm just not worthy. You know, this and that's this going on in my life. That's going on in my life. I'm not doing anything wrong, but things around about me aren't right. And God said, you need to get out of that mindset. I didn't call anybody else. I called you. I didn't call your husband, or I didn't call your children. I didn't call anybody else. I called you into the ministry. You are the one who has to keep yourself right. The other people have no effect on you. I mean, they do with the people in the world because they look at, you know, but not with God. It does not happen with God. He wants you to be living right. Malachi 4, 5, and 6 says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. See that? He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest they come and strike the earth with a curse. So God has to have the spirit of Elijah working in these end times. You know, the signs, wonders, and miracles. The same spirit Elijah had. Are you ready to resign to the fact that you can no longer live as the rest of the world, or I'm going to say church lives? Are you ready to submit yourself into the hands of the Almighty God and say, God, I don't care what the rest of the church does. I don't care what my family does. It's you. It's me that you called, and I submit myself to you totally and completely, 100%, and I'm going to walk in unity with you, and I'm going to walk in righteousness and purity of heart. I'm going to quit going back to the sin trap. I'm going to keep my eyes straight ahead, glued upon you, and I don't care what goes to the right or to the left, what comes down, because you said that you had my enemies. You said you had my family in the palms of your hands. You already told me that I'm not God and I can't change him, and only he can. And so I give everything to you, God, and I'm not taking it back ever again. So you have to come to that place in your life if you're really going to work for God. And God's calling you to do that tonight. So he's saying some of you in here, you want to prophesy, but you don't want to give up certain things in your life. You want to be a great teacher, but you still want to be, share with the world. You can't do that. You really can't do that. And God said you can't have a mixture with inside of you. You have to be totally, completely, 100% His. Not 99.9. God told me on our first born again daughter, I need 100% of you. 99.9 will not work. That one little point the devil will use and destroy you. So how much have you given to God thus far? And how much are you willing to give to God tonight? He wants 100% or he doesn't want anything. See, this is a decision you're going to have to make. And you're going to have to make it quickly. Because God is getting ready to pass out mantles. I saw that in the spirit realm. And he needs to get mantles passed out right now. Because he's come with his great signs, wonders, and miracles. And he needs pure men and women who have washed their hands, sanctified themselves, and said, God, I'm going to walk with you 100%.